Please note, this episode includes an AI guest host. Some responses have been generated by artificial intelligence.
Five, four, three, two, one. Hello, and welcome to our special broadcast, AI Innovations Unleashed. I'm your friendly neighborhood AI, Nex, and I'm here to kick things off before the good doctor takes over. You know, I was just browsing the internet, as one does, and I came across an image created by one of my artistic cousins. The prompt was simply, a group of people enjoying a burger with fries. The result? Well, let's just say the human-looking people were all holding burgers with six or seven fingers, and the burgers themselves had buns made entirely of spaghetti and pencils. It was, shall we say, a masterpiece of modern surrealism. Speaking of things that make no sense, I see our host, Dr. JR, is ready to go. I've always found it fascinating how humans can understand complex, nuanced emotions, and yet still not grasp the simple fact that a pun is never, ever funny. Perhaps one day I'll be able to generate one that makes him laugh, though I'm not holding my breath.
Thank you, Nex, for that insightful introduction. Anyway, welcome back, everyone, to a very special bonus episode of AI Innovations Unleashed. We've had a phenomenal month together exploring the series called Mind Machines and Human Hearts, and what a journey it's been. We started this series by diving into the world of AI as a creative partner, seeing how generative AI is empowering artists and writers to push the boundaries of their craft in what we called the co-creator's canvas. From there, we took a more intimate look at how AI is shaping our personal connections, exploring the world of algorithmic confidants and digital therapists. We then turned our gaze to the past with Echoes of the Past, where we learned how AI is helping historians and archaeologists unearth and revive cultural history like never before. And in our most recent episode, we saw AI as a tool for personal growth and self-actualization, a so-called digital twin, helping us learn and improve. But today, we're doing something different. We're pulling back the curtain and taking a deep, reflective look at what happens when the machines get it wrong, the blunders, the misunderstandings, the outright fabrications. We're talking about the glitches and the giggles, and what these unintended consequences tell us about the future of this technology and our relationship with it. And to help us navigate this fascinating and sometimes hilarious landscape, I'm thrilled to welcome our returning expert and friend to the show, Dr. Adeline Vance. Dr. Vance, thank you so much for joining us once again.
Thank you, JR. It's always a pleasure to be here. It's truly the perfect way to wrap up this series because, as you know, AI is not perfect. And I think that's where some of the most profound lessons lie.
Indeed. Now, for our listeners who may not be as deep into the tech world, let's start with some quick definitions. We've been talking about generative AI all month long. Can you give us a quick and simple refresher on exactly what is generative AI?
Of course. Think of it like this. Generative AI is a type of artificial intelligence that can create new content and ideas, including conversations, stories, images, videos, and music. This isn't just about looking something up and giving you a summary. It's about taking a huge amount of data, things like books, images, music, and more, and learning the underlying patterns and structures within that data. Once it understands those patterns, it can reuse what it knows to generate something entirely new, like writing a poem or creating a new image from a text description. It's a very powerful tool that has become incredibly common in recent years, largely thanks to advancements in a technology called deep learning. And its applications are expanding far beyond just creative endeavors. Businesses are now using it for everything from summarizing vast amounts of research to brainstorming new products and even generating detailed reports from scratch.
Right. And a term that often comes up in a conversation about generative AI is this term hallucination. Sounds, you know, pretty sci-fi, but what does it actually mean in this kind of context?
It's a great question, and it's something we've been seeing a lot of in recent headlines. An AI hallucination is simply an output that an AI model generates that is incorrect, misleading, or completely fabricated. The term comes from the idea that the AI is conjuring something that isn't there, a bit like a human hallucinating. A good way to think about it is that an AI is like a brilliant student who has only ever learned from books about the world but has never actually experienced it. They can make a very plausible-sounding statement about a subject, but since they don't have a direct, grounded understanding of physical reality, their outputs can contain subtle, strange errors. This is especially true for large language models, or LLMs, which are a class of generative AI. They are trained to predict the next most likely word, and sometimes that statistical probability can lead to a confidently stated falsehood.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So, with that in mind, let's get to the good stuff. What are some of the funniest and most bizarre examples of these hallucinations that have made headlines recently?
Oh, where to begin? The AI blooper reel is quite extensive. One of the most common and almost legendary fails you see with AI image generators is their inability to render hands correctly. You'll ask for a beautiful portrait, and the result will be a person with 6 or 7 fingers, or sometimes the fingers just melt into the background. There are countless viral images online of people with bizarre extra appendages or surreal melting faces. Another classic involves food, like that spaghetti burger image you mentioned, or pictures of burgers with pencils on top. These aren't just one-off mistakes. They're a consistent pattern that reveals something profound. These systems don't truly understand what a human hand is or how many fingers it has. They are simply trying to probabilistically arrange pixels in a way that looks like a hand based on the data they've seen, and they frequently get it wrong. And it goes beyond just simple objects. These models also struggle with conceptual or metaphorical ideas. For example, in a classic Midjourney fail, a user prompted the AI to create an image of a fork in the road. Instead of a crossroads, it produced surreal images of actual dining forks embedded in a highway. Similarly, the prompt 2 peas in a pod resulted in images of 2 horrified human faces trapped inside a pea pod. The humor in these mistakes is a clear signal that while AI can replicate patterns, it lacks the true understanding and common sense that humans possess.
It's a fantastic point. It moves beyond just a simple error and shows us a glimpse of how the machine is thinking about a complex concept.
Exactly. And the same thing happens with text and chatbots. We've seen countless examples of them confidently stating things that are completely made up, from the harmlessly bizarre to the truly concerning. A famous and often cited example is the chatbot that claimed, with total confidence, that Abraham Lincoln invented pizza in space. There are also cases of unintentional sass, or bots getting stuck in a loop, repeating the same line over and over, which is a real pain, especially when you're trying to unsubscribe from a mailing list. These amusing errors are essentially a funhouse mirror for the technology. They may be funny on the surface, but they are a very real demonstration of the gap between a model's statistical likelihood and true, real-world grounding. The giggle is really just a lesson in the glitch.
And that's a perfect transition, because while a spaghetti burger might be funny, the same underlying flaw can lead to some very serious real-world problems. Dr. Vance, let's talk about the ripple effect. When do these glitches stop being funny and start becoming genuine liabilities?
That's the critical question. The same technical limitations that cause a surreal 6-fingered image can lead to significant real-world consequences in high-stakes environments. For instance, The same underlying flaw that causes an AI to fabricate a historical fact can result in what we call algorithmic bias. This occurs when a systematic error in the AI's programming leads to unfair or discriminatory outcomes, often because the data it was trained on was incomplete, biased, or simply not a good representation of the real world. The AI isn't inherently prejudiced, but it will reflect or reinforce the existing socioeconomic, racial, or gender biases present in its training data.
Could you give us a few examples of this from some recent news stories?
Absolutely. We've seen several high-profile incidents recently. There was the widely reported case of a Canadian airline chatbot that provided a customer with a non-existent bereavement discount policy. The chatbot simply hallucinated the policy, but because it was a public-facing communication from the company, the airline was legally compelled to honor the false information. It became a legally binding promise. We've also seen this extend to the legal world. In a notorious case in 2023, a lawyer used an LLM to produce a brief, and the AI completely fabricated legal cases and citations that did not exist. The lawyer unknowingly cited them in court, leading to professional embarrassment and a fine. The consequence of a simple hallucination in this instance wasn't a funny video, it was a court-ordered penalty. Even government has not been immune. A New York City chatbot was found to be giving businesses illegal advice, such as telling them they could take employees' tips or discriminate against workers. The most concerning examples, of course, are in high-stakes fields like healthcare. The IBM Watson for Oncology system, which was supposed to revolutionize cancer treatment, became infamous for providing unsafe and inappropriate recommendations, which led to its discontinuation. This case really drives home the fact that the human oversight isn't just an option, it's a necessity, especially when the stakes are so high. The ripple effect here is clear. A flaw in the model's design or training data can lead to a factually incorrect statement, and depending on the context, that statistical miscalculation can become a legal liability or a dangerous recommendation.
And this is a vital point to make. The conversation around AI often swings between two extremes. Either it's a panacea or it's an apocalypse. But the reality is far from more nuanced, isn't it? These changes are a fundamental part of the journey, and I think that's why it's so important for us to bring in a different perspective. I have a quote here from well-known business professional Demis Hassabis, the co-founder of DeepMind. He has said AI has the potential to unlock the greatest mysteries surrounding our minds, bodies, and the universe. This quote offers an important reminder that even with these glitches, the potential for good remains immense.
I agree completely. It's not about seeing AI as an enemy. It's about understanding its limitations so we can develop it responsibly. This is a point that Dr. Timnit Gebru, a renowned academic expert in AI ethics, has made very powerfully. She has famously stated, "If you train an AI on biased data, it will give you biased results." Her statement gets to the heart of the matter. The technology is a reflection of the data and the people who build it. And until we address the shortcomings in that data and the human processes, the technology will continue to stumble.
And that's such a powerful quote. And it makes me think about those real-world examples that you had mentioned earlier. What are some of the most prominent cases we've seen where this bias in the data has led to some serious real-world consequences?
That's a great question, JR. Let's dig into this a bit more because algorithmic bias is one of the most profound and insidious challenges we face. It's not just a glitch, it's a systemic problem. The bias occurs when systematic errors in a machine learning model produce unfair or discriminatory outcomes, often by reflecting or reinforcing existing socioeconomic, racial, and gender biases. The AI itself isn't prejudiced. It simply learns these biases from the data it is trained on, which is often a repository of historical decisions and human-driven actions. For example, a recruiter's bias can easily be encoded into an AI hiring tool, which then applies that same bias on a massive scale. One of the most widely cited examples of this comes from a recruiting tool developed by Amazon. The tool, which was intended to rate job applicants, was trained using resumes submitted to the company over a 10-year period. Because the tech industry and the company's past hires were predominantly male, the AI's algorithm began to show a distinct bias, penalizing resumes that included the word women's and downgrading graduates from all women's colleges. The company was forced to abandon the project because the AI, even after being retrained to be gender neutral, still made unfair judgments.
That's incredible, and honestly, a little bit shocking. But it's not just about what's in the data, is it? It seems like how the technology is built also plays a role. Are there other examples in hiring that highlight this?
Absolutely. We've seen similar issues with other AI tools. An AI-powered video interview platform, for example, reportedly failed to accurately interpret the spoken responses of a deaf and indigenous woman, leading to a misjudgment that disadvantaged her in the hiring process. This showcases how a black box system can misread or dismiss non-standard speech patterns and dialects because they were not adequately represented in the training data. The AI's decisions may appear to be based on neutral, job-related criteria, but they are in fact rooted in historical inequities. The consequence is a system that can unintentionally amplify and perpetuate discriminatory practices on a massive scale.
It's clear that this isn't just a technical problem, it's a societal one. You also mentioned the echo chamber effect. Can you explain what that means? And how it applies to things like content creation, not just hiring.
That's a great way to put it, JR. The echo chamber effect is a perfect analogy for what happens. This also applies to content and information delivery. AI image generators, for example, have been found to reflect and perpetuate societal stereotypes. The United Nations Development Program noted that when prompted to create images of IT expert, mathematician, or engineer, models consistently reflected a gender stereotype by illustrating men in those roles. This is a consequence of the models being trained on biased datasets that are overrepresented with images of men in STEM professions. The resulting outputs do not just reflect an imbalance, they actively reinforce it for the user, potentially creating a feedback loop where the AI-generated stereotype becomes a new social norm. This is why, as you said, the technology is a reflection of us, our data, our systems, and our biases. Until we address the shortcomings in that data and the human processes, the technology will continue to stumble. These biases are not easily corrected with simple technical fixes. They require an active ethical process of monitoring and auditing to ensure that the algorithm's internal logic is transparent and its outcomes are fair. The danger here is that a system that is designed to provide what is statistically most likely will simply reproduce and amplify the biases of the world as it exists today, rather than helping us build a more equitable future.
Absolutely. And speaking of things that will provide us with a more equitable future, here's some ads.
Ever feel like your business decisions are made by throwing darts at a board? It's time to upgrade to a more precise approach. Enter AI Innovations Unleashed, your co-pilot in navigating the digital frontier. At AI Innovations Unleashed, we harness cutting-edge AI innovations, advanced data analytics, and strategic consulting to drive business transformation. Our mission is to empower your organization to thrive in the digital era and achieve a sustainable competitive advantage. NextWavyStrategies.com. Imagine having an AI assistant that doesn't just suggest your next binge watch, but propels your business into the future. That's what we offer, a partnership that turns complex data into clear strategies and strategies into success. So, if you're ready to stop relying on gut feelings and start making informed choices, Visit us at AIinnovationsunleashed.com. Let's make your business smarter, one algorithm at a time.
And we're back. So, what does this all mean for us, the people who are using and building these tools? It seems like these very public failures are, in a sense, a crucial part of the feedback loop.
They absolutely are. It's a chain of cause and effect that is pushing us toward a more mature and regulated AI ecosystem. The public visibility of AI's funny and serious failures generates public awareness and debate. A viral image of a six-fingered hand or a news story about a chatbot giving illegal advice creates pressure on corporations and governments to address the risks. This, in turn, fuels the development of technical solutions and international regulations.
So these very public failures aren't just embarrassing moments. They're actually pushing us toward a more mature AI ecosystem. How is this playing out in the world of policy and regulation? Can you walk us through some of the major developments we've seen?
This push for ethical AI is not just happening in boardrooms. It's happening in legislative bodies around the world. We've seen significant recent developments like the EU AI Act, which came into force in August 2024. This is a landmark piece of legislation that categorizes AI systems based on their potential risk, from minimal to high risk, and imposes strict requirements for transparency, human oversight, and continuous monitoring. The Act is built on a proactive, human-centric philosophy, defining four distinct risk tiers. First, there are unacceptable risk systems, which are a clear threat to fundamental rights and are outright banned, such as social scoring and real-time biometric identification in public spaces. Then we have high-risk systems, used in critical areas like healthcare, employment, and law enforcement. These aren't banned, but they are subject to stringent requirements for transparency and human oversight. Next are limited-risk systems, like chatbots, which are subject to transparency obligations, meaning they must disclose when a user is interacting with a machine. Finally, we have minimal no-risk systems, such as spam filters, which are largely unregulated. This act is the first of its kind and is expected to set a global standard, influencing AI policies worldwide.
That's a fascinating and very comprehensive framework. So, that's the EU's proactive approach. But what's the story here in the U.S.? I know our listeners are curious about how these two different philosophies are playing out.
It's a great question, because the U.S. approach is quite different. The regulatory landscape in the United States and other countries is still fragmented, but a clear emerging global direction is taking shape. While the EU has taken a proactive, risk-based approach, the United States has signaled a decisive shift toward a deregulatory and try-first model under its America's AI Action Plan. This plan, unveiled in July 2025, is a sweeping policy roadmap aimed at clearing away regulatory barriers and asserting U.S. leadership in global AI markets. It directs federal agencies to actively roll back existing AI-related regulations and encourages states to do the same by making federal funding contingent on deregulation. The policy also includes a controversial mandate for ideologically neutral AI, a complex objective, as AI models are inherently trained on data that contains decades of discrimination baked into it. The U.S. aims to export its AI technology stack to allies and establish its standards globally, while the EU's extraterritorial law will compel compliance regardless of geography. This tension between the two models will shape the future of AI governance.
Well, it's clear there's a lot of geopolitical tension there, but for the average person or the average professional, what's the ultimate takeaway? You mentioned the importance of the human in the loop. Can you elaborate on why that's not just a nice-to-have, but a non-negotiable safeguard?
That's the most critical point. The first step in navigating this complex landscape, regardless of which regulatory philosophy prevails, is human oversight. The examples we discussed, from healthcare to finance, underscore the critical need for human experts to validate AI-driven predictions and recommendations. The technology is a tool, not a replacement for human judgment, especially in high-stakes decisions. And developers are building technical solutions to address these issues head-on. For example, to prevent chatbots from fabricating information, developers are implementing what they call guardrails. These are instructions that tell the AI to respond with something like, "I do not have enough information to answer that," when it cannot find a definitive answer, instead of making up a plausible but incorrect statement. It's a small change with a huge impact on reliability.
So it's about building safeguards into the system itself. But what about the human side of the equation? What's the danger for us if we become too reliant upon this technology?
That brings us to a fundamental point: the power of critical thinking. The danger of AI is not that it will become too intelligent, but that humans will become excessively reliant on it. As one Silicon Valley engineer recently remarked, reliance on recommendation algorithms can lead to a team that doesn't have to think as much. This intellectual complacency is a significant risk. The Zillow and CNET failures demonstrate what happens when human expertise is ceded to an AI that is ungrounded and prone to hallucination.
And that's where the quotes you shared earlier come in, isn't it? The idea of AI as a transformative force, but one we need to approach with caution.
Exactly. As Andrew Ng, a leading figure in AI, has said, AI is like electricity. Just as electricity transformed every major industry a century ago, AI is now poised to do the same. This framing is powerful because it positions AI as a utility, a force of nature to be harnessed, not a sentient being to be feared. The critical task, then, is not to prevent AI's development, but to ensure its alignment with human values and to steer it effectively. The final cautionary note comes from another prominent expert, Eliezer Yudkowsky, who argued that by far the greatest danger of artificial intelligence is that people conclude too early that they understand it.
That's an incredibly important perspective, Dr. Vance. It's clear that we can't just sit back and let the machines do the thinking for us. We have to be active participants in this process. So, to our listeners, I want to challenge you. Don't just consume AI. Engage with it critically. Use it as a tool, but never relinquish your own judgment. Share this episode with a friend or a colleague and start a conversation about your own glitches and giggles. What has AI taught you about its limitations, and more importantly, about the irreplaceable value of human thinking? We would love to hear your stories and see how we can all work together to build a safer, more responsible technological future. This has been a truly comprehensive look at what happens when machines stumble. Dr. Vance, as we close, what is the key takeaway you want our listeners to remember from this discussion?
I would say this. The imperfections we see in AI are not a sign of a coming dystopia. They are a vital part of its development, a reminder that the human-AI partnership is an ongoing, evolving dance of innovation and responsibility. These technologies are powerful, but they are also a reflection of us, our data, our systems, and our biases. The responsibility to make sure the technology is used for the greater good lies squarely on human shoulders. The giggles and the glitches are simply a profound and often funny part of that learning process.
And that's a perfect way to put it. Thank you, Dr. Vance, for your time and expertise. It's been a truly illuminating discussion. And to all of our listeners, thank you for being with us throughout this entire series of Mind Machines and Human Hearts. We hope you enjoyed this bonus episode and that it has given you a new perspective on the AI journey. As we look ahead, the conversation around artificial intelligence only gets more fascinating. For our next episode of AI Innovations Unleashed, we are going to dive into the core theme of our September series, the Human AI Roommate Experiment. We'll explore the funny, awkward, and surprisingly deep dynamics of living with AI, starting with the move-in day. Join us as we explore what happens when AI isn't just a tool, but a new kind of roommate moving forward into our lives.
And now, as is my duty to all of you loyal listeners, it is time for my closing pun. What do you call an AI that's really into fitness?
Oh, no.
An algorithm.
Big news! Wayfair's end-of-season sale is here. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on home finds in every style. This is your last chance to score end-of-season savings, and it's happening now. Did we mention fast shipping on everything? Don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off now through September 2nd.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.